In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
Well, it is a post-game edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. The Browns beating the Ravens 29-24. We are brought to you by our good friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Daryl Ryder, where was this Browns team all year long?
They didn't have Jameis Winston at quarterback. Yes. I think that's what it comes down to. I pulled together a nugget after the game that five of the last seven non-Deshaun Watson starts dating back to Joe Flacco, the Browns fill-in quarterback, threw for 300 yards. Jameis Winston, 330-plus yards in the win over the Ravens. Of course, Joe Flacco, four of his five starts, he threw for 300 yards. I even included the season ender where against the Bengals last year where the Browns just basically mailed it in there because they were already off to the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, five of seven non-Deshaun Watson starts. If, you know, last week did not end Deshaun Watson's Cleveland Browns career with the ruptured Achilles. You know what ended his career with the Browns? Today. With what Jameis Winston
did. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Because you want to know why? Because everyone in that locker room can see it. It's undeniable. The production, even if they would have lost this game, and we'll get into some of the reasons why I didn't believe that.
He threw for what, 324 today? And yeah. Three touchdowns. And, you know, Cedric Tillman suddenly is, this great receiver. And we see, you know, you had four guys with significant days offensively receiving the ball. And then, I just think the number one question fans are going to be saying, and then you go back to what Kevin Stefanski said 2 weeks ago before he started Deshaun Watson. He said, Deshaun gives us the best opportunity to win. And fans are all scratching their head right now, especially when you look at, you know, Cincinnati lost to Philly 37-17 in that game. And you say, man, they just gave that game away. And you wonder what they would have looked like last week if Jameis was at the helm.
Let's look at the offensive distribution today. Elijah Moore led the team with 8 catches for 85 yards. Cedric Tillman, 7 catches, 99 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy, 5 catches for 79 yards. David Njoku, fantastic 23-yard touchdown catch, reaching over the back of the Ravens defender to haul it in, but 5 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. 6 different players caught passes on Sunday. Just a well-balanced offensive effort. Now, granted, Baltimore came in with the worst pass defense in the NFL.
And they had guys injured on.
Marlon Humphrey wasn't available today. Their secondary was banged up, but I mean, look, the Browns took advantage. Let's give them their flowers. Give them their credit. They, Lamar Jackson helped the Ravens jump in front there with about 2.5 minutes to play. The Browns got the ball back, and Jameis Winston took them right down the field. They scored the touchdown, and then the defense had to hang on for dear life there in the final 59 seconds. But I just feel like that you have to give them their due, and you can't dance around this anymore. This is what the Cleveland Browns were supposed to look like this year, Andy, what we saw against the Baltimore Ravens. This is what this football team was supposed to look like, and just looking back at some of the, you know, 4 losses this year where the defense allowed 21 or fewer points. That's a bitter pill to swallow.
It's also 4 losses by less than a touchdown.
Right.
Too, So maybe you throw 2 of those games out. You throw the Dallas game out in the beginning of the year. And
right.
I mean, but who knows what that would have looked like with Jameis Winston. I don't want to say it's one start for Jameis, and they really played focused, and they really – but again, it starts with the defense and ended with the defense today, because that huge stop on 4th down on the very first drive of the game. And by the way, the defense only had to be out there for really 1 drive in the first quarter because the offense was able to eat up time.
And the Ravens had no respect for the Browns because they weren't scoring enough. What the one, they're like, if we don't get it, you ain't scoring anyway. And look, season highs in scoring for the Browns. Season high in passing yardage for the Browns. Season high in offensive yardage for the Browns. 300-yard passing game for the starting quarterback. I mean, it's and the offensive line, for as critical as I've been of them, they look perfectly fine. And you wondered why they look fine? Because the quarterback wasn't bailing 2 seconds after getting the snap and having to run around like a chicken with his head cut off. So many times you watched Jameis in that game, Andy, where he was stepping through, right. You know, to his left, to his right, going back, going forward. He wasn't bailing out all the time trying to get outside the tackle box or, you know, to get outside the numbers and make something happen with his feet. And I think that really made a difference for the offensive line. DeJuan Jones at left tackle looked like a starting NFL tackle today.
Well, I mean, they only had 2 sacks today. And you might say, because there were a lot of people discussing the fumble that turned into a touchdown.
The strip sack, yeah.
Yeah. And so was that DeJuan's fault? And, you know, I got to go back and watch on replay.
It was a blindside blitz. And actually, DeJuan blocked inside. And the defender came around the edge completely untouched. So I'm not going to put that on DeJuan, especially because I don't know what his assignment was.
Right.
But he engaged. You know, it's not like he just stood there and was like watching what was going. I mean, he engaged to the inside. So I don't even know that was, you know, DeJuan's fault. I think just you give sometimes the defense credit for out scheming you on a particular play. And unfortunately, that resulted in a strip sack. And a couple of plays later, the Ravens turned it into points.
I also think that another factor in this game, too, was Nick Chubb. And Nick only ended up with 52 yards in the game. But Nick suddenly had his burst back when he hit the offensive line. Looked way better than he did in the first round. And again, there were people that didn't even think he'd ever play football again. So yeah. I think if you're on the other side of the ball, you know, like this week, one Harbaugh is talking to another. He's going, you know, you got to account for Nick Chubb because he seems like he's getting better every time he touches the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, Baltimore came in with the worst pass defense, but the best run defense. They were giving up around 65 yards per game. Browns got 80 yards on the ground. Nick Chubb, as you mentioned, had 52 of those all on his own, and he averaged 3.3 a carry. Dont'a Foreman came in. He had 5 carries, averaged over 5 yards per touch there. You know, so certainly they didn't hit the 100-yard mark, which you like to see a run game. But when you're playing the number one run defense, you'll take an 80-yard performance out of that.
For sure. How about the other thing about the defense is Derrick Henry, who is just he puts up 100 yards a game in a sniff. Today, they stuffed him down 11 carries, 73 yards. And, you know, 73 yards is still a lot of yards, but it's not.
He still kept the scoring streak going, though. Yeah. He scored in every game. He's got 11 on the season. But, again, though, this is the NFL. You're not.
But he took them out of their game that they had to pass at the end of the game. They couldn't use him to run.
Right. But my point is, like, you're going to give up plays in this league. It happens.
Right.
It is an offensive-based league. It is a point-scoring league. And that's why I was so frustrated earlier in the season, because 20 points a game is the bare minimum offense in this era of the National Football League. And so for this offense to be unable to do that in the first 7 games just reeked of sheer incompetence. And I think today showed you how incompetent it really was, because again, cold off the bench, right? Comes out and he just lights it up. And look, let's be honest about it. It was not an all-time performance. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't pretty. We had the roller coaster Jameis Winston experience, especially in the final minute.
Well, you got two gigantic breaks. You got a drop pass that hit somebody in the chest, and he's just the sun took him out of the play. And then the dropped interception right before Tillman's second touchdown. I mean, he had that ball in his hands. And just those are the plays that used to go against the Browns all the time. Or those are the plays the Browns used to make. I've almost got the interception. It's in my hands. And then it flips out. And then all of a sudden the Browns end up losing a game, especially in the early years of coming back in 99.
Or that the final play where Lamar gets out. He extends that play. You're like, Jesus, is someone going to do something to bring this guy down and end it? And he gets the ball to the end zone. And I think it was Jim Donovan from above. I really do. Swiping that interception today, saying not today. Justin Tucker never misses from 50 yards. Wide of the uprights. Dustin Hopkins from 48. Doink, hits the up. Nope, that's going to go in today. This is the Browns. I believe the universe there was conspiring to a little bit, you know, in honor of Jimmy Donovan to get this win. And watching the post-game speech from Kevin Stefanski in the locker room, talking about getting that game ball to Jim Donovan's wife, Cheryl. and his daughter Megan. And then when talking to us after the game, he was trying to keep himself composed. He started to tear up a little bit talking about that, how he told the team Saturday night, hey, we got to get this one for Jimmy. But I just kind of feel like that it was meant to be today. Just watching some of those breaks, because there were a couple breaks that didn't go their way.
Sure.
But there were just those breaks that just, they went their way at the right time. And I just think that was the universe, smiling down on Browns fans today.
Yeah. A couple of injury updates at the end of the game. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was taken off on a back brace. It was precautionary at that point. They took him to the hospital to make sure. The press box was told that he did have movement in all of his extremities. So
judging from the reaction from the locker room, it sounds like he's going to be okay. Obviously they were concerned with the scene that unfolded on the field, but there was some optimism in some, when we were asking players about JOK and that, there was some optimism in the voices that he is going to be okay.
And by the way, the fans were, initially before you could see us, the fans were screaming, let's go Browns, just to make sure that there were no questions about, like what would happen last week.
Yeah, different players, different circumstances, different it's things there. Denzel Ward did suffer a concussion.
I'm concerned.
That is his sixth now that we know about in the National Football League. Obanaya Okoronkwo, we talked to him after the game. The injury, told us he's fine. He's had a little bruise, I'll be fine. So maybe not all that, maybe he misses a practice or two this week or something like that, but he did not sound like he was all that concerned with that knee injury. So
it's nice to talk about a win. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean,
nice to talk about a win.
That was a roller coaster of emotions all day. Mm-hmm. It was obviously a tough day here around Huntington Bank Field. But for them to pull that out in the end and get that win, we'll see what it does for them going forward. They've got the Chargers coming to town next week.
The Miz has got them winning out for the rest of the season. So if you
want
to buy playoff tickets, go for it right now.
But here's the thing. I think that what we saw today, Andy, should give Browns fans a reason to keep watching the team. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I just feel like the hole is way too deep. Basically, they can lose one more game to finish that 10-7 where you Now, the good news is if they go 9-8, they have a ton of AFC opponents coming up here, so maybe they get a tiebreaker and they can backdoor their way into like the seventh wild card spot. It's going to be real hard for them gives fans a reason to watch. That was fun to watch today.
Again, the other interesting point on today is that you beat the Ravens, right? The Bengals lost. If the Steelers should lose to the Giants tomorrow night, you'll pick up a full game on everybody in the AFC North.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And so at least it propels you. I mean, the Ravens top of the,
I just know come January what the conversation's going to be. And we can have that conversation in January.
Right.
But I know what the conversation's going to be, because this team, I feel like, and I talked to a couple guys about this in the locker room too, the energy, we talked a lot, we hear so much about Jameis Winston's energy, right?
Yeah.
Well, they felt that today.
The Reverend was preaching.
Well, you saw the clip, CBS Sports was posting the pregame speech clip and all that. But the team fed off of the energy, and Jameis not just spoke, but he played, right? There's something to say for, it's one thing to give a speech, okay? Mm-hmm. It's another thing to be in the middle of the
action. And he talked about that during the week.
Right, and he talked about it after the game too. So, and teammates were joking how he never shuts up in the huddle, or at practice. He's like, you with me? You with me? It's like, we ain't going anywhere, Jameis. Yeah, we're with you. But, they just fed off of his energy. And so I think that, yes, we're going to ride the Jameis Winston roller coaster here, but I think he acquitted himself really well, showed he should be the starter going forward. When you beat a team like Baltimore, who came in as red hot as they were, and also, too, the way the offense responded around him, the way the offensive line played around him, I think that now this will be fun to watch. They may not win every game. They may not make
the
playoffs.
This was fun all season.
But this is going to be fun to watch now.
Thoughts on the Chargers before we say goodbye?
Well, let's enjoy this one first.
All right.
We'll talk about the Chargers on Wednesday. One Harbaugh down. Well, I guess two to go, because you get them again later in the year in Baltimore. But and then, of course, the bye week. And obviously the focus right now is, let's not be thinking about that bye week.
No.
If they handle the business against the Chargers next weekend, Andy. Now you're 3-6. You're at least
cart horse. Let's stop right there.
You at least have a pulse. A
little bit of momentum. Let's see what they can do. It was a great day. It was definitely a great day here. So the Browns go on to win 29-24. We'll be back with you midweek with our midweek report. And of course, he's got Brownie Bites every day to make sure that you are fully satisfied with all of your.
Well, actually, on Fridays. I can't do every day. I got him every day.
Yeah, make sure you're listening to him. So, all right, for Evan O'Brien, our outstanding producer, thanks for watching. It's always game day in Cleveland.